Hello, welcome. My name is Xavier Villares. I am the project coordinator of the Workers Observatory. Gig work is becoming more common in Scotland, yet issues of low pay and unsafe working environment get little attention from policymakers. As we explained in our first episode, ahead of the Holyrood election on the 7th of May 2026, the Liberty Riders from Edinburgh Collective Room launched 5 policies to transform gig work in Scotland. In this series, we explore how the policies might be widely applied, focusing on the perspectives of migrant workers who constitute the majority of this growing workforce. We bring together the Liberty Riders, people from academia and grassroots organizers to discuss the best way to implement these demands whilst offering a reality check from those who work on the front line. Today, we focus on policy number 2, support for risks, crisis and repairs. We'll hear about the reality of how precarious and dangerous working conditions are for many gig workers and some ideas about how we can address this. We are joined today by Jurash, Bojan and Marion.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Yeah, please, Jurash, you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Hi, I'm Jurash. I'm part-time digital rider. I studied my master in computing, so I am preparing for my future job. So apparently I'm also preparing for competitive exam. So I enjoy working as a gig worker because it's very flexible and I enjoy bike as well. So so it helped me keep myself fit, and it's very flexible that I can go online whenever I want to do.
That's great. Thank you, Jurash. Bojan Karavaliev.
Yeah, hi everyone. I'm Bojan Karavaliev. I'm the policy lead at the Workers' Observatory, and I recently co-authored a report about occupational road safety in the gig economy.
Thanks, Bojan. Marion Luto, hello.
Hi, I'm Marion. I'm one of the research leads at the Workers' Observatory. There are a couple of researchers involved. I'm also a lecturer and a social data scientist at the University of Edinburgh. So I've been in charge of helping the observatory develop methods of collecting data to expose the reality of gig work in Scotland. I'll talk a little bit about that.
That's great. Thanks, Marion. Well, let's start with the first question for you, Jurash. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with health and safety as a gig rider in Edinburgh?
I can say, like, regarding this thing, it depends on sometimes weather. So overall, I can say the experience is very good, being as like a self-employed, and there is no pressure of at all for like how much work you have to do. You can just do it on your own. Apart from this, what I can say regarding the safety, there are some of the problems that need to be improved, such as road need to be improved. Also, there is a risk of being a theft, and this is the big problem in whole UK. Like I also got my bike stolen back in 2 years back. So this a bit also costly. Like if you buy any new electric bike, that may cost around like £1,500, including some extra battery accessories and everything. So apart from that's also one of the issue. Apart from that, can say like if I go some of the area, like we don't know if you find the area is unsafe, and we can be get assaulted, and we also get fear of like we don't get help very soon, so and we are alone, and we that can be also happen in like group of assault.
Okay, thanks for that. It's well, what you mentioning about bike theft. Actually, we'll talk about this later. But the data that we have about this in the city is that nearly half of the riders in the city got at some point their bike stolen. So yeah, it's yeah. Something that is probably you have other friends, other pals that got the same issue.
Yeah, I have almost I can say like most of my friend about my. 80% of friends, their bike get has stolen. So I just make sure like next time, that was my first bike and I didn't buy any insurance. So for the buying the next time, I just make sure to have the bike insurance, theft insurance, everything should be covered. So I can just be like at least sure like I get back what I have paid for the bike.
Thank you. We will be back with this, but Marion, you facilitated a workshop during which delivery riders designed a survey for the workers to gather information about their working conditions, including safety on the road. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, that was back in August and winter 2024-25. So that's a project that we initiated over a year ago now. The basic idea was very simple. Because we work with riders directly, we could see from conversations with riders that there were very salient issues around pay and around safety that everyone was having. And people who had been working in food delivery work for a long time, we're talking about, you know, falling rates of pay. And people who were involved now were also talking a lot about accidents and about stolen bikes. And some of the problem that we saw was that there wasn't a space or a way to turn that into like a collective story rather than all of us kind of like individual experiences. So if you have a lot of friends who are cycling, who are riding for Deliveroo, you have a sense that this is happening all around you. But you don't necessarily know how, whether that's specific to you and your friends or whether that's like everyone who works for the platform. And also you don't have a way really of making that case publicly because you're just a person and a group of friends. And so we thought we needed to have a space for those conversations to happen, for people across group of friends and riders from different spaces and different backgrounds to come together for us to get a sense of like how pervasive is this? How big an issue is this? And what do we think are the really important issues that we need to collectively tackle and bring to the forefront of policy in Edinburgh? And one way of doing that is to do a survey, which is a collective process where we decide what are the important questions that we need to ask? What is the information that we need to turn into like data that no one can deny. And so we did that. We ran a couple of workshops, but especially one early workshop where we all kind of, a big group of riders and some of us from the Workers Observatory, we sat down together. We had a big conversation about what we thought were the main issues. And then on the back of that conversation, we designed a set of questions and we turned that into a survey. And then we went from the room back into the street to get other riders to fill out the survey so that we could, at the end of that process, have a very clear sense and a very strong argument about how prevalent those issues that we had identified in the room were. And the results of the survey were really striking. Like we found a super high prevalence of theft, for instance, where like 2/3 of people reporting stolen bikes, like quite recently, lots of people reporting accidents, like serious accidents that had happened just in the last 6 months, and everybody complaining about rates of pay and like having to work really long hours to make a proper living out of that.
Very good. Thanks, Marion. I guess that was also like a good way to bring workers together, you know, the whole process of designing the survey, being together, same room, knowing each other for the first time, some of them. I guess that was also part of the magic of the whole process. And then, of course, the results on such a under-researched space as it's we work in Edinburgh and in Scotland in general, which is one of the main issues that we are facing here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I come to this as a trade union organizer, but also as an academic who works on gig work. And one of the experiences that you have as an academic is that you do a lot of research. There is a lot of research happening on gig work, but research on its own doesn't really do anything. And research actually seldom makes its way either to workers directly or to policy or to social change. And so what we're doing, what we're trying to do with the Workers Observatory is take a different approach where research itself isn't the point. The point is that people come together, that in the process of discussing working conditions and turning that into collective research, what we're trying to achieve is a sense of collective certainty about the problems that we're facing and collective validation. And that at the end, we also have like this quantified, for better or worse, quantitative data is the language of power. It's the language of that policymakers listen to. It's the language that people engage with in a sort of like, oh, this is no longer subjective because it's quantitative data. And obviously quantitative data is subjective in many ways. But that exercise of turning our experiences as workers into quantitative data is one way to make us feel more solid, stronger about the experiences that we have, and also to present it outwards to people who aren't writers as facts that they cannot easily dismiss or deny. Hmm.
Thanks, Mario. Going back to risks, Bojan, you co-authored recently a report called the Scottish Occupational Road Safety Alliance. And this report reviewed existing research on road safety in the gig economy. And what were your findings?
Yeah, thanks, Xavi. Yeah, speaking of research, a lot of the research that happens. We did this review with our colleague Karen Gregory, who is also one of the researchers who works with the observatory. So basically what we did is we reviewed literature from across the UK, but also abroad as well. It was specifically to look at road safety, what the connection is between the growing prevalence of gig work and road safety, and make recommendations to policymakers. So what we found by and large mirrors what we're seeing here in Edinburgh directly from workers, like research that's been done in cities across the UK and across the world, paints a very similar picture of the kinds of risks that workers see on the road. Of course, there's differences city to city and country to country, but like one of the biggest patterns that we see is that the payment structure of the system, where workers are paid by the task rather than by the hour, can cause a lot of issues because it incentivizes workers to complete their tasks as fast as possible rather than to prioritize their safety. And especially with many workers having this kind of work as their main source of income, kind of contrary to what a lot of people think. A lot of workers also struggle with fatigue, having to work long hours, having to work evenings. Again, there's other issues as well. So having good road infrastructure for cyclists is also really important, and we'll talk more about that in the next episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for that, Bojan. Jurash, following up on this, what kind of support is available to food delivery riders who are victims of theft, assault, or traffic accidents?
Yeah, to be honest, like if you talk about like on-spot support, then I can guess like the only support we can get is from people around, that they can call for any emergency or ambulance who are the person who is being get accident or being assaulted. So on-spot support, that if only if the people are around. And apart from that, if there is no one around, the area is quiet. In that situation, it might be difficult as person is getting assaulted. I have one of my friend who was just like delivering somewhere around in Edinburgh, and a group of kid or maybe some, they just assaulted him. They are like trying to steal the bike, and they just hit him hard in the back of the head, and he just got seriously injured, and he just went into the coma as well. So that can be a very serious threat, I can say. So for the on-spot and like a quick support, I can say it's like a little bit slow, because sometimes like police doesn't show up on like very quick, and so I can say like that need to be improved as well. If you talk about the theft, like as I mentioned earlier, that's the big issue. Like some of the rider, they don't want their bike to be get stolen, and they just try to pull it back, and that time also they gave them the very insidious assault, and because they know like how hard it is to get a new bike and how costly it is. and they don't have the insurance as well. Supports are available, but I think what we can say is like the most support we can have is like if we have good friends, the riders. Just like I made some of the friends from other riders, and if I call them, just quickly come up. I just want to talk about the recent that my bike just got stolen a month back, and luckily my friend was just around, and he was just there, and he just came go around and just take a look. I already called the police, and it's almost like took like half an hour to come the police. But before that, my friend just caught him. He just chased him until like 2 to 3 miles, and he got the bike back luckily. So I can say like to have a good friend, we can have the support from friend rather than like police sometimes.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that. Yeah, I guess that mutual aid here is very important here.
Like yeah,
helping each other among yeah. riders. And do you communicate each other?
Yeah. So what I can suggest is that like I know like some of the riders, they make the WhatsApp groups and just communicate with each other if they have any problem. So like if their bike has got like if they have broken bike or like and puncture, if they want the bike to be repaired, I find even some of the friends are very helpful. And apart from that, for the emergency situation, I think we can build an app or something in the emergency situation. If any rider is around, that can come and to help them. And we can also give the rider who is helping the other riders award something. So that's how we can encourage support to each other. Because it's not easy for police as well to just appear every time in a very quick time. Because I know there are like it's not easy. So I think the riders are more reliable sometimes because they are mostly available and they also understand each other's situation and that's how they can help.
Thanks, Raj. Marion, the Workers' Observatory created an interactive map on which workers can add incidents like these ones that we're talking about that they face on the jobs, such as thefts, traffic accidents, and assaults. How did the idea come up and what has the map revealed so far?
The idea came up from exactly this kind of conversation where the kind of experience that you've just described is very widely shared in Edinburgh. Lots and lots of riders who were talking about bike theft in particular and racially motivated attacks as well. And that there was a wave in autumn last year where lots of folks got their bikes stolen and there were a couple of like very serious attacks. And so we were all kind of talking about that and very concerned about it. And that's a complicated thing to address because at the same time as riders are experiencing this really severe risks, you have politicians in Edinburgh presenting a kind of narrative that riders are a risk. You know, riders are endangering pedestrians or riding recklessly or whatever. And so we had this two kind of completely contradictory sort of narratives at the same time in Edinburgh. And it seemed really important to be able to show that actually what we were looking at was a population of workers who was exposed to incredibly serious risks and not, rather than one who should be understood as a risk to others. And like, yeah, in the context of platform work, it's particularly hard because the risk is individualized. So if you had an employer, like in salaried work, if things happen to you while you're at work, your employer is responsible for it to a large extent. But in platform work, if something happens to you, your tool of work, your bike gets stolen, you get attacked while on the job, the employer refuses to be considered responsible for it. Like the platform doesn't take any responsibility. You have to refund your own bike. You have to find yourself some help. So the whole experience of risks is completely individualized and there isn't even a way that people can report it. So that's where we started. And we're like, there needs to be a way for people to report it because the situation that we have now where people are faced with insane risks, like truly what you've just described is extreme, like not it's not normal for workers to be exposed to this kind of risk, and most workers aren't. And so the idea of the map came from those conversations. Again, we did a workshop. We sat in a room together with a whole bunch of riders, and we had that conversation about, okay, what are the main risks here? What are the things that we experience, the dangers that we experience? And what do we think are the most important ones? And where are they happening? And on the back of that conversation, we ended up with these three main categories, which was bike theft, like theft and bike theft, assaults and attacks, and accidents. And then I set up a kind of map where you can just like pin and say, something happened to me. And we tailored that in the room together. And then we made that map live. And in a very short amount of time, we had lots and lots of reports, like tens of reports of accidents and attacks and everything faced by riders in Edinburgh. And some of the main findings that we got from that was that most of the horrible stuff that was happening to riders was happening in the city centre, which makes sense in some ways because that's where most of the activity happened and there's also high traffic. But that also means that it's happening in an area where a lot of riders are. And so mutual aid could have a big role here because every time that something bad happens to a rider in the city centre, there's like tens of riders within quite a small perimeter who could help. And we were able to show as well like certain areas of risk, like the bottom of Leith Walk. And we brought that back together with the group of riders once we had the result. And we could kind of like verify and be like, yeah, that completely makes sense. Accidents happen mostly here. There's like thefts and attacks mostly there. A distribution of risk and also just a prevalence of risk that I think people who aren't gig workers had no idea about. And some of the policymakers who came in for that when we revealed, like showed the finding, were like clearly shocked about the kind of things that the map showed.
Visual way to understand the situation and seeing better what are the problems and also sharing this reality among riders. So going, why are we talking here now is because we demand action about these things. Juraj, what can councils and the Scottish government, what they could do to support riders and other gig workers who often find themselves in precarious positions?
Yeah, so there are like certain things that can be done by our council or Scottish government. So the foremost thing I could suggest is like to have a separate route for cyclists so they don't just ride with the other cars and all. So sometimes it can be risky. Personally, my experience when I'm riding on the road, I'm in a certain speed. There is like potholes. So sometimes I have to just brake harshly. Or I said just like overcome the pothole. And at that time, if car is coming behind and they just can horn or just can be, it can be risk for the accident as well. So I think the road should be separate for cyclists. Apart from this, what I can say, like government can build like a rider's hub where they can safely, when the weather is too bad sometimes, if it is too windy or weather is storm, so they can find the nearest spot which is safe for the riders. They can relax, they can have a chat with other riders, they can have their food because some of the riders are coming from far and they don't have enough time and they just cannot just eat every time out. Because this food is expensive and they have to save some money. And for that, like they need to have like a space or a room that they can relax for a bit or maybe take a wee bit of nap during the afternoon or sometime. And apart from that, what I can suggest is like in this rider spot, there should be like information available and the rules, road safety, so they can educate themselves like how to ride safely, how to be a safe rider for themselves, and they just don't harm other on pedestrian and they don't break the rules. So they should keep less risk for themselves and for the others. So another thing that riders are facing is like maintenance of the bike. e-bikes is already very costly. Like it may cost around like £1,000 or 1,500 something. If you go for the repair, it's also very costly, and there should be like a cheaper repair for any bike for the riders.
Okay, thank you so much for that answer, Juraj. That was
you're welcome.
That's great. Bojan, alongside an analysis of health and safety issues, the report that you co-authored also made several policy recommendations. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, so the report we wrote, the recommendations focused specifically on road safety, and there were UK-wide recommendations, so not just ones limited to the Scottish Parliament. But yeah, one of the main things that we are recommending is that there needs to be better data collection. So for example, existing data from traffic accident that's collected, like it may say that the accident happened as part of someone's work, but there isn't really any more details from that. So the specific risks of, you know, for example, that come with food derivative cycling are not revealed in the data that's currently collected about traffic accidents. And then making streets safer is also very important. And making sure that workers that use these streets as part of their work, like the streets are the workplace for a lot of workers, making sure that they're actually consulted on the road infrastructure that gets built. And yeah, overall, we need to make sure that these platform companies that profit so much from this work are held accountable for the risks that their workers face, and that they adjust their practices to make sure that everyone's safe on the road. So overall, what we're saying is that we kind of have to look at all of these as systemic issues rather than issues of individual behavior from workers.
Great, great. Thanks, Bojan. So just to wrap this up, question for everyone here. Right now, there is a lot of hostility towards delivery riders, but little understanding of their side of the story. So what is something that most people do not understand about gig and platform workers, such as delivery workers? Something that you think that people don't fully grasp about what is being a rider, for example? Juraj?
Yeah, so there are certain things that people are not aware of, like what certain risk that riders are taking, because only rider know as they are working on the ground and they are just working hard sometimes like for the whole day, because this is the only source of income. And some of the people, they are ordering food online. There's sometimes like four floor up, and they're already riding. They just have to just go upstairs and just deliver the order on the door. And sometimes they also complain about that their order is being late, and they sometimes rush. And they also on whether like a rider is already on the way, and they just keep on messaging like, "Where are you? I'm just getting late." And that sort of message I also got in the past. There are some problem. The traffic is big, and where there is a road is blocked. And sometimes it might get delay or something regarding like if I had problem with my bike. So that sort of problem that people are not aware about, and they just get angry at the rider sometimes if the order is getting delayed. And they don't know the reality sometimes about the work, because they never have any experience like about how they are working in what condition, about whether it's bad. If it is too cold.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for that, Juraj. Mario?
I think in general, people just don't know what kind of work this is and how exposed food delivery work is and platform work is. Like in Scotland, it's very clear that food delivery riders are at the front line of racism, for instance. It's a population of workers who is like working by themselves, very visible in the city because we're crisscrossing all the time, and dependent on this kind of work because for most riders, it's their main source of income. What that means is it's an incredibly high risk kind of work. And in the context of kind of rising racism, that is one of the population that is the most exposed to that. And we're seeing that in riders' testimonies. So I think that's one thing that people don't don't know yet or haven't realized that. And another part that is very clear is the level of built-in risk that comes from how those platforms are designed. The fact that it builds into the work such intense time pressure and wage pressure that if you slow down, if you have an accident, if there's road work, if for whatever reason you can't pick up an order or you go slower than the platform expects you to, you can face sanction immediately. You're at risk of deactivation. You're at risk of you losing your main source of income. And this isn't highly paid work. Like, nobody can afford to lose that income who is in it. This fact of what it means in practice to be a food delivery rider, I think if you aren't doing this work, you just have no idea. And the final thing is, but that's for everybody, like, this, workers have power. We forget about that in general for all of us, but we also forget about it for riders. These workers have a lot of power. There's a whole layer of restaurants who've become dependent on food delivery riders. There's big companies that rely on them. There's a lot of clients who are incredibly used to getting their food delivered now. There's a huge amount of leverage there, but because unions have not been actively supporting gig workers, because policymakers have not been looking at this kind of work actively, and because by design this work is really individualized, this is not something that is obvious to many of us, and we don't often know how to go from this individual experiences to collective power and collective action. But it is there.
Good. Thanks, Mariam. Bojan?
Those are both great answers. I guess I'll just kind of echo what the other said, is that, like, overall how this kind of work is structured, like, even just the fact that payment is per order delivered, or, you know, in the case of ride hailing, is per journey. And the companies have these algorithms in which they will give an order a very low pay, and if no one takes it, they'll, like, slightly increase the pay. So they basically find the lowest amount they can possibly pay for a given task. So even the fact that this like exploitative way that the payments are proposed and structured is something that people have no idea about.
Right. Thank you, everybody, for being here today, Bojan, Marion, and Jurash. It's been fantastic. It was a very productive conversation here. To read the platform of five policies launched by delivery workers in Edinburgh, go to the workersobservatory.org, to our website. It's going to be in the description. In the next episode, we will discuss the shortcomings of road infrastructure in Edinburgh when it comes to the safety of delivery cyclists, and how we can ensure workers are directly involved in decisions affecting their safety. Please follow us on Instagram, Blue Sky, Facebook, LinkedIn, Workers Observatory there. If you're a rider in Edinburgh, join Room, the Riders Collective. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.